Thank you, Heather. May I now speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Right, it's lecture time. Put off your old nature and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new nature created in the likeness of God. Stop lying, and everyone speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. Be angry if you must be, but don't sin. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. If you are a thief, no longer steal, and instead do an honest day's work, so that you may be able to give to those who are in need. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I have to confess, that's not me talking to you, but words, well, a different version, but words written by the writer of the letter to the Ephesians. It would be quite possible, I think, to read those words very carefully and slowly and allow them to speak instead of a sermon. And it's perhaps presumptuous to add to them because they are so perfect. But I will, all the same, because Heather says I've got to preach to you today. So thank you for that, Heather. These were the standards by which the early Christians were being urged to live. The impression which the early church gave was one of power. This is the expression given, the impression rather given throughout the New Testament. And as the result of the efforts being made to live up to these standards, there must have been those who didn't manage it, otherwise the letters wouldn't have been written in this way. But by and large, the impression was of a church so filled with spiritual power that people even crowded into the streets, bringing their sick for healing. And they were not disappointed. How much is this still true? I'll give you just a moment to think about it. At one time in its more modern history, the church seemed to possess great power and a dominant place in society. Buildings towered over other buildings in the neighbourhood as a symbol of that power. I come from Salisbury, and if you approach Salisbury from either the north or the east, the first thing you see is the cathedral spire before you see anything else. And that is a symbol, I think, of the strength of the church. Today, the church seems like power in so many ways, and even its great cathedrals are overtopped by concrete and glass office blocks. Just look at St. Paul's Cathedral, which used to stand out beautifully, but now is dwarfed by all the buildings around it. In a way, that doesn't really matter, because the fact that the church has lost power and prestige, that doesn't matter. The important question is whether it's lost its spiritual power. That's what we should be concerned about. Is the first impression the church gives today one of strong inner resource, or is it a body timid, divided, wandering in a secular wilderness and unsure of itself? I could make a political comment there, but I won't. So where can the church find, or find again, its inner strength? The truth is that purity and openness and single-mindedness of purpose and inner power go together. When the church exhibits beyond any doubt the power of holiness, then people will fear it and respect it. I mean fear in the sense of respect, not be frightened of it. then they will come to it for healing, both physical and spiritual. Purity means power, and power produces respect. And without respect, no one will ever come forth for healing. This inner strength, this sense of purpose, this holiness, call it whatever you like, comes as a direct result of the church's spirituality, by which I mean the spiritual lives of all its members. It helps sometimes to bring these tremendous themes down to a very personal level. Don't be tempted into thinking of the church as something that you just belong to. It's very easy to fall into that trap. You are the church. The church is you. It's your relationship with God which contributes to the quality of life in the church as a whole. And the focus of your spirituality should be your attendance at this service here today, at this sacrament, which is a word I use advisedly and deliberately. When I was a child, a little boy, which I was many years ago, I learnt that a sacrament is an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And that's a lovely way of describing it, I think. It's at that time and place where earth and heaven meet, and worldly things are touched by a divine transforming power. That most Christian of all children's books, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, shows you perfectly what this means. I'm not sure that, in fact, it is a children's book. I think it means more for adults than children, but that's another area for discussion, which I'm not going to go into now. But I do hope that you have read it. Have you all? Yes, yes. I think it's a marvellous book. It really is a marvellous book. The wardrobe is one of the doors from one world into another. From the imperfect world where trains crash and people are killed, to a perfect world where Aslan, the lion, is the king who must suffer in order that good will prevail. The wardrobe doesn't always work, however. There are times when the children try in vain to cross to the other world. But if they have work to do there, and they have the right attitude of mind, they're given strength and insight far beyond their own natural powers. So it is with our attendance here today. If we are convinced that we have work to do for Jesus, which I hope we all are, in the building of his kingdom, and if we have the right attitude of mind and purpose, this sacrament in which we will share will equip us to do that work. Listen to the words of the prayer that sums up all that I've just been saying and which we're going to say together at the end of the service. It's a very simple prayer, but it speaks abundantly. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of that Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And so, having in those words dedicated ourselves to doing God's work, we are dismissed and sent out to get on with that work with these words. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. So, in other words, for God's sake, get on with it. Don't waste time. Amen.